Welcome to the Bumblecast. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me as always is my Bumble co-host, Kyle, JCRB Krause.
Hello. It's Wednesday, yet again. Totally Wednesday. This is obviously Wednesday when we're recording this. Come on, it's not even a question.
Right before American Thanksgiving, so happy Turkey Day to all of those who are so inclined to celebrate the time.
Yes. I'll pull the curtain back a little bit. We're actually recording on Monday.
Shh! Don't reveal all our secrets!
Oh, no! 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 Okay, well, we'll reveal some of the secrets. We have to. That's how we have to answer the questions.
I mean, it's not really much of a secret. We've got ourselves a standard Q&A episode. Kyle, where do the questions come from this week?
They come to us courtesy of our lovely emailers, who email us at bumblecast@yahoo.com. They like to email us. They send us many, many questions by email. So we will answer those.
Yes, let's do it.
All right. First up, big Sonic fan Patrick has a question. Did Sega ever explain what the special power of the original Death Egg was? So far, all the general public knows, aside from the obvious space station basics, is that it was being powered by Chaos Emeralds and the Master Emerald at one point. Just what was so special about that big ball of scrap?
I honestly don't know.
It was just nothing cool.
Was really established in the... We don't even know what the other Death Eggs did, to be honest. I mean, sure, one was built around Little Planet, so one can assume time stones might have been involved. And then the other one was the big space base and forces, but it didn't do anything aside from jail people? So... I don't know.
Yeah.
Question for the ages.
Who knows?
Now, you could maybe extrapolate, because in Lava Reef, when it's kind of face down in the mountain, and then the eyes light up, and the entire area suddenly ignites, and is actively volcanic again, maybe mm-hmm. you could assume there's some kind of energy weapon, but beyond that, I don't know.
Who knows? It's just a Death Egg. It's just a thing, man. It just looks cool. It's the rule of cool personified. So, yeah. Here's a question from Commander Proton. If the two of you died, how is up to you two.
Thanks.
And you were reincarnated as Sonic and Tails, respectively, during the events of Sonic 2. How do you think the two of you would react, and how would you guys do things differently throughout all the Sonic games? Ian, I got a question for you. Let's tackle the first part of this question first. How would you die? It says it's up to us.
Peacefully in my sleep, I would hope.
Possibly. Oh man.
I mean, if I get to throw that switch, let's name it that one, because there's a lot of bad ways to go.
I just want to go quick and painlessly. That's really it. I don't care how.
I mean, at least in your sleep you don't even see it coming.
Yeah, true. But I mean, if you do see it coming, what does it matter? You're dead.
There's that momentary panic.
Yeah, but then you're dead, so the panic is gone. There's no more panic. Everything is gone. I like it. This is a very strange question, but I kind of like it just because it's very silly. I like silly questions. So anyway, how about the second part?
So I guess we're assuming I'm Sonic and you're Tails in this scenario.
Yeah? I guess. I mean, sure, we'll go with that.
So if we're going through this, and the phrasing of the question seems to imply that we know what we know. Mm-hmm. So we're very fourth wall breaky.
Yes.
I'm glad you want to go quick and painless, because you're going to kamikaze most of this, buddy.
Probably, yes.
You're going to come back. You're going to run into everything face first and then come flying back 20 seconds later. And I'm going to be very, very careful, because if I go, we both go.
It's true.
Knowing how I did with a controller in my hand, we're already in trouble, because I'm not very good at Sonic games, and now I have to control it in first person.
I mean,
we need every advantage we can get.
my capabilities at Sonic games have been pretty well documented. I am like fantastic. I feel like I'm very fantastic at the classic Sonic games. Modern, eh, not so much. But then again, there are also buggy messes that are kind of hard to get around. So I feel like with me, we could probably fly through the classic era stuff. But
well, quite literally, your tails.
But as soon as we get to Sonic Adventure, particularly Sonic Adventure 2, things might start to fall apart a little bit.
Depending on how much meta control we have in this scenario, I will totally abuse the sound test menu and get us debug mode if I can.
Okay, yes. You will willingly turn yourself into a ring and then drop a billion zillion rings all over the place so we can...
I mean, why not if we rings? Can?
Okay, cool. Cool.
Unless it's in the context of we have now been entered into this world, in which case, you know, our destinies are set and we're just going to have to do our best, because I guess even if we do get a game over, it's going to just start up again.
Yes.
That is...
And then we have to deal with Knuckles. How do we
purgatorial.
Do, how do we do that? How do we deal with Knuckles?
Well, he ain't going to listen because we have to follow the game script.
No, he's not. He's not going to listen. We're not going to be able to convince him until we get to Hidden Palace Zone. Yeah, we won't be able to convince him of anything.
And we're going to have to eat that boulder in Lava Reef every freaking time.
Of course.
Trudging up the stairs like, yeah, here it comes.
Yeah, and then you have to sit there, wait through the boss when it's lava all around you. That sounds miserable.
Nah, it's a nice breath of fresh air.
Yeah, but it takes like 15 hits. You have to sit there. You have to sit there forever. I hate that. I hate that boss. I hate that boss.
Hey, I like it because I always get the flame shield, and I'm like, yeah, keep hitting yourself. Keep hitting yourself.
Or maybe we end up, I like this idea from the chat, maybe we end up in one of the betas or prototypes, and the levels aren't finished. No. Uh-oh. We're just endlessly looping, falling over and over and over.
Right, we're in hell now.
Against a blue backdrop. Blue and green.
Just hey, over Dante, and over. Which level is this?
Yeah. We're in wood zone, but we're stuck. There's nowhere else to go. Hidden Palace Zone. Uh-oh, it ends. What do we do? What do we do here? Act 2, it's a garbled mess. No. We're going to die. That's what would happen, Ian. We would die. Again.
Repeatedly. I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
It must be a nightmare to be Sonic in a video game. That is definitely a nightmare. Thanks for the question, Commander Proton. Here's one from Colin B. In issue 41 of IDW Sonic, did the Deadly Six actually go around killing people in those towns they ransacked? Did Zom-Mom finally make true on his claims to gobble up the citizens? What about that poor doctor who tended to Zavok? Did she get her adorable head crushed? I must know.
Here's the thing about walking that fine line in all ages media is we're not going to ever say for surezies. Because once the genie's out of the bottle, you can't really put it back. On the other hand, they're called the Deadly Six. They need to be deadly. So if you want them to actually be terrifying and menacing and you're a fan of them, then yes, they absolutely did leave a body count. If you think that is way too extreme for a Sonic book, no, they just did cartoonish violence. Don't worry about it.
No one died when Chaos attacked. Obviously.
Imagine Schrodinger as a mortician.
Yes. Nobody, no, there were no problems with anything. No one has ever died in Sonic. Ever. Ignore all the constant deaths. Ignore them all. And here's one from Liam D. I'm wondering, what's it like being infected with the metal virus? Man, these questions are kind of dark. I didn't realize that.
It's like you're perpetually drowning in cold, cold, viscous water.
Mm-hmm.
You are always enveloped. It is always cold. There's always this degree of numbness where you can feel things, but it's always through some kind of layer. And there's no end to it. There's no sense of how long it's been. There's no sense of how long it will be. That's just what you know, moment to moment.
Are people conscious when they're infected by the metal virus? Like, do they maintain any sense of self?
Semi-conscious, I'll say.
Oh, that's frightening.
Not enough to be actively aware that this is a bad time, but enough that it hits you on that primordial level. So there are folks who are having nightmares post-virus world.
Oh, man, it's dark. It's real dark. Here's a question from Tony C. Since many wisps migrated to Earth, wouldn't that have consequences to the environment of the planet? Likewise, where do the wisps live? The Chao live in rivers, I think, but where do the Earthling wisps reside? Would the wisp in Silver's time be any different from the present runs because of the environment change? Like in Pokemon with the Frosty Vulpix.
I think it said that Chao live anywhere there's clean water. And I think since then it's kind of understood that they live primarily in Chao Gardens, which are little hidden oases. Or maybe that's just my own headcanon infecting things. For wisps, we're not really sure what their environment is. Like, what do they eat? They don't have mouths, for the most part. There didn't seem to be particularly any notable fruit or nourishment on Planet Wisp. And they are energy beings. Do they even need food? Do they just exist in a state of being little cute ghost thingies? I don't know. They're aliens. It isn't explained. So if they are not predatory, and if they have no natural predators, and they don't actually consume or affect the environment around them, then no, I guess they wouldn't really have an environmental effect. They just kind of do their thing around and about. Whether they would have variations as time went on with different environments, that is a really cool question. And I can't say for certain, because it depends on how mutable their species is. Like, do they change over time? Were ancient wisps any different? Were there divergent types of wisps and Mother Wisp is the latest incarnation? There's a lot of super nerdy things you could ask about it, but it's all like theory crafting at this point. There's nothing I could say like definitively, yeah, sure, it'd be that.
Interesting. Maybe someday in the future they'll expand upon that. I guess we'll see what happens. In the meantime, let's get to this question here from Lethargic Place, which is a place I am very familiar with. In issue 6, or whichever issue Shadow shows up first, the townspeople vanish. In the issue prior, Sonic and the Chaotix are having a conversation discussing Eggman, aka Tinker, at the time, with the townspeople, and when Shadow shows up, they're gone. The people vanish. So I ask, what was the thought process behind this? Did you just forget? Could you not square them with what you wanted the story to be? Does Sega not want Shadow yucking it up with the locals? I know, out of all things going on with Shadow, this seems like a very strange thing to ask about. But at least in my own imagination, having Shadow interact with people outside of the normal game cast, especially in a situation like this where citizens may have resentment towards him, and the actions he wishes to commit seem very interesting. But they just vanish?
No. In issue 5, they were already bunkered down because of an impending Badnik attack. That's why you don't see them in issue 6, because they're still in hiding. Granted, there's one scene where in issue 5 you see them barricaded in this particular dwelling, and in issue 6, when Shadow goes to confront Mr. Tinker, Mr. Tinker is notably absent, but you can just say that, you know, because he knew violence was coming his way, he told them to hide in another room. That's it. You know, otherwise, there was no reason to have a crowd scene or to show the locals. They weren't important to the story. So they were already hidden off page in issue 5. No reason to drag them out in issue 6.
Get out of here, locals. We don't want you. We only care about the people who are in the games. Get out. Get out. I'm kidding. They can live there. They're allowed. I will allow it. Because I am mayor of Sonic Town now? I'll take that title. Here's a question from Kalalu. Hi, Ian. So in issue 18 of IDW Sonic, there was a female character that had no pants or panties on. So that got me thinking, is it a mandate that female characters have to wear clothes, or do you guys add clothes to them to fit in with the rest?
Yeah, typically you're supposed to have female characters fully dressed. So that's just the standard.
Mm-hmm.
Went through the issue again to figure out what was going on here. And I believe the character in question was...
Jen Hernandez's fan character, right? That's the cameo.
I think there was somebody else's fan character that Tracy put in there as.
Oh, it was that was a Tracy issue. For some reason, I thought that was okay.
Put her in there as put a couple of characters in there just as, you know, a nicety, and that didn't get flagged for whatever reason. I'm assuming that their designs are what he drew because he's very good at attention to detail. So maybe he worked out a special, you know, permission on that one, or licensing didn't flag it this particular time. I don't know, but that's more of the exception that proves the rule than anything.
Yeah, well, there was that one issue. It was around. It was in the teens, drawn by Jen Hernandez, and she put her own characters in there as a cameo. And Jade, one of them, is a girl who doesn't wear pants. So.
Yeah, but I seem to remember she adjusted them.
I don't know. It didn't look like it.
Let me dig up my file real quick.
It didn't look like it. They looked pretty much exactly as they did.
No, she's got pants.
Really?
Yep, like athletic shorts or something.
Oh, okay. Okay, so she did make a slight adjustment.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Fine. I guess she knows what she's doing.
Almost like she's talented or something. Hi, Jen.
What? Yeah, she absolutely is. All right, here's a question from Owen W. Hey, Ian. Are Sonic X robots such as Missile Wrist and that Ninja Girl Knuckles Fought off limits? If so, would you use them if you could? Sonic X may be long dead, but it would be interesting to see some minor references to arguably the biggest and longest running show in Sonic's history. Though I understand if you have no interest in revisiting it ever again.
Yes, off limits, because older cartoon property generally don't want us using that stuff. We've done the song and dance before.
You've done little references here and there when you can, but other than that, it's not really on the table.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to using some of the robots. The Ninja Bot and Bokun are kind of the weird outliers because I'm not quite sure what they are. I mean, yeah, they're supposed to be robots, but they don't look like robots. They don't act like robots. They're too lively, and not even in like the Metal Sonic or Gimmerl sort of way. They're weird. I don't know. They would kind of stand out, but
even with Orbot and Cubot,
because they're Orbot and Cubot are very cartoony. They're very robotic in appearance.
They're robotic in appearance. Yeah. Okay.
Bokun looks like some kind of little imp or demon. He doesn't look like a robot at all.
Okay.
And the fact that he eats so consistently, you know, raises questions. I don't know. But, you know, the flavor of the day, robot to be destroyed. Yeah, sure, if we had access to it and I needed something to be blown up in an issue, I wouldn't be opposed.
You always need something to be blown up in an issue. Isn't that the whole point? All right. And here's a question from some useless person. I don't believe that for a second. You're useful. You're a good person, and you're useful to somebody. Anyway, here's a question from them. Is the Encyclopedia going to include pages about the Freedom Fighters and or other characters from the Archie and or IDW comics?
No.
Alrighty then. Here's a question from Ellie Plays Games. Last time I mentioned this game, you couldn't recall what it was that much, but this is a question about the Mega Man Monopoly ripoff on NES Rock Board. In Archie Mega Man, Kalinka repeatedly wanted to pretend to be a princess. Is this a reference to her story route in Rock Board, where she wanted to get a castle and become one for real? Also, if this game was ever adapted, which route would be canon? Lights, Wily's, Cossack's, Rolls, or Kalinka's? Or would you try and weld them all together in a way that makes sense and is more satisfying?
Ah, it's been so long since I researched this. So sad.
I don't even know if I knew this was a thing.
Yeah, but it's, if I'm not mistaken, that's where I got the idea for Mayor Dorado.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty sure he's like one of the spot filler characters, and he's all gold theme. So I named him Leonard Dorado, El Dorado.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And, you know, being interested in real estate in the game, I made him mayor of the town, because then he's kind of controlling all the real estate. It's a reach. You got to do some stretches before you really dive into that one. I'm not sure where Kalinka's desire to be a princess originally stems from, if that's some bit of minutia from another game or if that is from Rockboard. It's been a long time since I delved into it, so I can't remember exactly where that inspiration came from, but it fits. As for adapting it, I don't think I would. I think Mayor Dorado was the reference, just because all the characters vying for real estate control, that's a stretch. I mean, I could rationalize Mega Man's soccer to a degree, but Rockboard was a bridge too far.
Okay.
So I don't think we would have ever like adapted yet.
All right. I'm looking into it. And this is something that completely escaped me. I didn't even know it was a thing, but it was exclusive to the Famicom in Japan. And it is basically, it's a Docky Street, a.k.a. Fortune Street, with a Mega Man skin. So, interesting. Very fascinating. I learned something today. I'm now all the better for it. We'll go with that. And we'll go with taking a quick break, and then we'll be right back with more questions on this fine, fine episode of the Bumblecast. I mean, I hope it's fine. Is it fine?
It's fine. It's fine. It works. It'll be okay.
Yeah. 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 Sure. No, I don't think there'll be too many complaints. Okay. There might be a few, but you know, there always is. And we have returned with a question from Raphael C. Inside of Colors DS, the Soul Emerald suddenly shone and took Blaze from the Soul Dimension to Sonic's Dimension by sheer will of the Emeralds themselves. Could this be the explanation for Blaze's presence in Sonic 06? In the original timeline, Blaze was in the Soul Dimension, Sonic Rush never happened, and the Soul Emeralds took her to Sonic's Dimension in the future so she could fight Iblis with Silver. Then at the end of Sonic 06, everything is reset and a new timeline appears, and now Sonic Rush happens. In this way, Sonic 06 and Sonic Rush are not prequels to each other, but different timelines.
That is a fan idea that I can never use.
You're welcome.
The Soul Emeralds moving Blaze between dimensions, or moving anyone between dimensions, is established. Apparently the Chaos Emeralds do that too. That's the whole plot of Sonic Rush Adventure, and that's how we tackled it with her appearance in IDW and in the Japanese Twitter stories. That's part of one of the Blaze and Sonic stories as well, is that the will of the Emeralds moves Sonic to Blaze's dimension. So that much is fairly standard. Time travel, though, is not something that the Soul Emeralds have shown off, so that doesn't quite fit. There's also the issue of consuming Iblis's power turned her into Burning Blaze at the end of 06, which just raises a lot of question marks. So, gold star for trying to untangle that knot, but had to deduct points for making it a fan idea that has been presented before me, and therefore it is now legally off the table because I can't use it. Kind of prompts me to say this thing because I got hit with something on Twitter as well. Please do not show me your fan idea designs or redesigns for characters. That is a guaranteed way to make sure they will never, ever possibly see the light of day. I applaud your enthusiasm and your creativity. Legally, I cannot look at this stuff. Do not send it my way.
Alrighty. Here's a question from Amara N. Do you guys have any favorite memes or any favorite internet content related to Sonic? Like, for example, Silver's infamous 06 quote, "It's no use!" Or the YouTube series Sonic Real-Time Fandubs that gave us Eggman's announcement meme. Hope all is well for you both.
Yeah, I mean, "It's no use" is fun, but I feel like it's kind of been played out. And that's coming from somebody who really, really wears out every meme he can get his hands on. There was a old, I guess, radio drama, for lack of a better term, where Sonic has a nightmare and Eggman is attacking with the death cheese.
The death cheese, yep. Okay, I thought that's where you were going.
And, I don't know, something about unleashing the Cheddar Shredder cracks me up.
Tails at the end going, "I thought you might eat, like, cheese sandwiches. No!"
Yeah. So, God, how old is that at this point?
Yeah, it's from, like, the early 2000s. Like, probably 2002, 2001. Sorry.
I guess the one that still kind of sticks with me, and probably has also worn out its welcome, is Shadows, "Where's that damn fourth Chaos Emerald?"
It's a classic. It's a classic. I mean, Big saying, "Something's biting." That's always a good one. That's always fun. Or, of course, the old chestnut, this old classic, "That's no good."
Yeah.
I mean, the whole PSA is meme gold, but that particular line is very, very fun.
That one might be, is that like the oldest of them all, perhaps?
It could be one of the earliest, yes. Very, very, very possible. It's a good message, but I mean, just that the whole delivery and everything is just very silly. And the fact that it's Sonic is just weird. Like, this is at the tail end of the, your cartoons must have a moral or something. Like, it's the very tail end of that where they had like PSAs in cartoons. So,
and you know, as goofy as it is to most of us, they were what reached, you know, certain kids. Some kids needed to hear this, and if that alone validates it, as goofy as it may be to the rest of us,
it's goofy, yes, but it's not a bad message. it's just very
heaven
funny.
Knows if you're not being told that by any other parental or guiding figure. You need to get that message from somewhere.
Right. Absolutely. Oh, man. Oh, find the computer room. There we go. That's the
one.
Oh,
how could we forget?
How could we forget Vector's lovely, beautiful, amazing, "Find the computer room"? Oh, man. Shadow the Hedgehog. Filled with glorious memes. "This is who I am."
Why did Vector sound like a fusion between Fozzie Bear and Kermit the Frog?
I don't know.
I don't understand. Of all the voices, it's just so weird.
Because voice directors, that's them. Voice directors. Particularly in the late 90s to mid 2000s. All right, here we go. Here's one from Michael R. "Do you think any of Sonic Adventure 2 takes place on Angel Island? Why do you think Angel Island doesn't fall when the Master Emerald is shattered in SA2?
I know we've touched on this in the past. No, none of the game happens on it, but yes, Angel Island did fall. In between every single mission, there is a text crawl narrated by each character introducing each stage. So if for whatever reason you stopped the game after each stage, reloaded your save, and started over at the beginning of each one, Knuckles' introduction?
Introduction.
I mentioned Kermit, and all of a sudden I'm slipping into Swedish Chef. Knuckles' introduction, I believe at Wild Canyon, says that Rouge stole the Master Emerald and Angel Island has fallen.
He mentions that it fell. He just mentions that he chased her from the island.
Uh-oh.
Well.
Uh-oh.
Let me look this up.
Marriage over. Marriage compromised. Jerry.
Well, I'm not immediately finding it, so comment below if you find, like, the full text dump or something. Mm-hmm. And get the chance to say, hey, Ian, you're wrong.
Uh-oh. That's what everybody does. Everybody loves a good chance to tell Ian he's wrong about something. It's a big deal. Get on it. Here's a question from Shelly S. I have a curious question, and it's about Mimic's ability to mimic other people. I was wondering how exactly it worked, as I notice that whenever he takes someone's appearance, his colors are duller and he has brown eyes. Is this just a thing to let the readers know it's him? Or is it an in-canon thing? Also, I'm wondering how the appearance, if he takes an appearance of a character that mainly uses white, gray, or black color schemes, for example, silver or shadow. And finally, is he able to remove things like jewelry when he's taking someone's appearance? Example, if he was using Vector's appearance, would he be able to remove the necklace, or is he stuck with it?
This kind of works on fuzzy cartoon shapeshifter logic, but like, don't ask about how does he retain mass and what is his density and blah blah blah. But the color differentiations and the fact that you can still see suckers on his hands and the soles of his feet were directions from Sega so that nobody would be confused that the actual character was doing something bad or wrong. So in that regard, try to treat it as more of a visual shorthand and not necessarily something that is canon. It is a bit of a stretch because you have characters, you know, looking dead on at somebody and not seeing the obvious tells, but that's just one of those things that we kind of have to work around. As for how would it look with characters like Shadow or Silver, I guess a dingier shade, you know, maybe a dustier gray on Shadow on Silver. And a lighter black on Shadow, maybe in a more orange-tinged spine. Maybe the old pizza stain look from the old Archie books on his little chest poof, if you remember that.
Yes.
As for the various accoutrements that they may have, no, he cannot take it off. Like, he can't take Vector's chain off and hand it to somebody, because that would basically be ripping off a piece of himself. And you... I'm tempted to say that, you know, as long as he's in contact with every piece of himself, he could create the illusion, but that I think is stretching it a bit. That's a bit silly. He can create the mimicry of damaged clothing like he did when he was impersonating Tangle to trick Whisper, but I don't think he can actually like remove articles of clothing and, you know, toss them aside or hand them off or whatever. That's gross. So for such an incredibly powerful ability, it needs limitations so he's not, you know, truly broken.
Yeah. Makes sense. Next question here is from Callum Q. My friend Anonymous Artist wants to know if either of you have played the Sonic fan game Big's Big World. She says it is the best fan game besides Project 06, and it has literally the best power-up system she has ever seen in a Sonic game.
It's a fan project. I can't touch it.
I have never heard of it until reading this email. So, yeah, I can touch fan projects. I'm allowed. You can sue me all you want. I can't be sued. I'm immune to suing. Come at me, bros. Here's a question from Aguirre N. Why didn't Rouge tell Shadow about his past? In Sonic Adventure 2, she read Gerald Robotnik's diary about how Shadow was created by him and talked about Maria, who Shadow even told Rouge how he was doing all this to fulfill a promise to Maria, a very important person to him. In Sonic Heroes, it would have helped a lot in Shadow the Hedgehog, since the aliens baited Shadow into helping them since he wanted to know who he really was. It's a bit of a plot hole, to be honest. This isn't an attack on you, Ian. I'm just curious on what you think of this plot hole.
Yeah, he got a point, because they were all together for Heroes. It's, I believe, implied that Shadow and Rouge were hanging out in battle, and he's still got that amnesia thing going on, although Omega's completely absent, so who knows what's going on there. And like you said, the whole thing about Shadow the Hedgehog is, why doesn't he know? Then again, in SA2, he is driven by his altered memories of Maria. And in Shadow, he asks who she was. So, hands thrown in air emoji.
I think it's because Rouge is just an agent of chaos and likes to troll Shadow for the lulz.
No, because in SA2, when... SA2, she brings up Gerald's report and tells Shadow flat out, you know, you are Project Shadow. You may not even be the original Project Shadow. And Shadow's like, oh, dog, but I'm still me. And then it turns out his sister is a giant salamander. So, man, Shadow's got weird family problems.
I really do think it's Rouge just being a jerk and laughing all the way to the bank, where she will steal all their money. Except they don't have any money, because this is Sonic's world. This is my thing now. I'm going to bring this up every episode. You're welcome.
Oh, lovely.
I mean, I have already been bringing it up every episode, haven't I? Here's a question from Aaron K. Tails and Starline have much in common. They're both fanboys of Sonic and Eggman, respectively. They're both associates of each, former associate in the latter's case, and they're both scientific geniuses. Could we possibly see an intense rivalry between the two down the line, like Sonic and Eggman? Could Bell be involved?
I don't think so, because I don't think Starline sees himself on the same level as Tails. He sees himself as superior.
Well, he sees himself as superior to literally everybody except for Eggman.
Yeah. But, like, Sonic, he would have a modicum of respect for, because Sonic is the one counter to Eggman. That elevates him in Starline's eyes, and he sees himself as at least the equivalent, if not the superior, of Eggman at this point. Tails is the sidekick.
Yeah.
He tries to be like Dr. Eggman, and so many should, honestly, but he's not quite there yet. Now, he's certainly part of the process. Of course, there's no denying that. It'd be foolish to, but on the same level as him? No. Perish the thought. Honestly.
I like when you slip in a character as Starline. you do that very well.
And given what happens in Imposter Syndrome, that's kind of worrisome.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if I want to be associated.
Maybe I'm the clone. Maybe I'm the evil clone. You created me. I was the one in the test tube. It's me. All right. Here's this one from BRQE. In Sonic Lost World, we see Boom Booze and Yeti, the creatures seen in Frozen Factory, on the Lost Hex, which means the Zeti coexist with these races and possibly more. What are your thoughts on this?
It's frustratingly tantalizing. Mm-hmm. Like, do the Yeti... What are the Yeti? You know, are they just critters? Or are they sentient creatures? I know they're just a game mechanic, but what more is there to them? You know, you've got, like you said, the ghostly entities are on Lost Hex. Does that mean that they can access everywhere in the world? Why are they so free-floating there when on the mainland or even Angel Island they were locked away? There's so many tantalizing things, and I know that it's just window dressing. They're just game mechanics. There's probably nothing greater to them, but oh, I want to know. I want to play with those toys. I want there to be a reason. I want to make the reason. And I don't know if I'll ever get the chance to.
Curses! Why don't they see the Zeti crossover with the Yeti? Zeti v. Yeti. Dawn of something. I don't know. Here's a question from Rashiki G. Why were Thrash's gloves green? Did it have anything to do with the fighting gloves?
No, it just looked good with his palette.
Well, he was purple, right?
Yeah.
So green would be the complementary color to it? Or whatever.
I mean, it does stand out since most everyone does wear white gloves.
Yeah.
So that is markedly different. True. But I think it was just exclusively because it looked good.
He wanted to give him Hulk hands.
No.
Thrash smash. Thrash Smash.
Mary wouldn't like it when he's angry.
Mary Thrash Smash. And finally, our last question is from Ragey K. Is Eggman allowed to have an egg wife and little eggs off screen? I ask, since Eggman Nega is supposed to be Eggman's descendant in Silver's era. Actually, are you or anyone else hired to work on Sonic even allowed to mention Gerald and Maria as Eggman's relatives?
Gerald and Maria, I think, are fine in general. Just Sega doesn't want us looking back too much. They prefer that we just move forward. I don't think that makes them off limits. As for how does the proud egg lineage continue, who's to say Eggman doesn't, you know, just clone himself down the line, you know?
Yeah, but there were egg babies in the OVA.
There were. It was also a cat girl who was the president's daughter with continents that fluted over the mainland connected by ice bridges. That don't sink. So I don't know. The idea is honestly a little gross, but we can't really follow up on that. At least not right now.
Ah, yes. The Kintobor lineage. Okay, we're done.
No, we're not. We still have to give a big thank you to the folks who make this show possible.
Oh, fine. Whatever.
Whether it's through their patronage over at patreon.com/bumblecast, ko-fi.com/bumblecast, or their YouTube membership. Big thank you to Daniel H, Alex P, James K, John B, Jennifer R, Robotnik Home, Samuel P, Sam Cybercat, Torchbound, Mike B, Cooplin Crew 128, Duiz Diz Din, Diane W, Andrew D, Scruffy Matt, Chris A, Dave M, Salute Cat, Sony Off, John M, Noni, Don B, Jay Frost, Yami M, Lee H K, Lisa M, Chevelle Jib, Hero of Light 13, Piggy Bank, Ryan D, Blue Title Gamer, Speedweed, Tick Tick, Final Neil, Justin S, Jonathan W, Rachel W, Jonathan D, and Rachel W, excuse me, Ben Wolfsbane, Godzilla, Chaos Universe, Sonic Legacy, Dadler the Dalek, Daniel B, Invade Turbo Tunis, PC the Unicorn, Fiona M, Dove, Red the Super Namek, Pen Dolce, Carlos, Joe S, Preston M, Fire Red XY, Chad, Jennifer H, Alphamon or Yukon, Chico D, Renard Pixel, Les, Chase L, The Namek is X, Owen BD, John the Real Waluigi, Sapphire Scarletta, Noah S, Deltarune Jerry, Gojira Highwind, Turbo, Michi, Ava Wolf, Crooker, Kimiko, Red W, Lewis J, Callum Q, Radry, Professor Rye, Cameron H, why did I stumble on Cameron H? That's a normal name, what is wrong with you? Alex the Border Collie, Just Another Mountain Soul, In Zephyr, Maddie H, Phyllis Art, also known as For Sonic Fan, Nimerk, Audrey Shrugged, Techno Cinema, Scurvy Pirate Hog, and Zenith.
Nice. Thank you all for supporting us, and it's very, very much appreciated. So, anything else we got to do, Ian, before we get on out of here?
Nope. Just be good to yourselves, be good to each other, and we will see you next week for more Bumblecast.
Indeed. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone who's celebrating it. If you're not celebrating it, well, have a good time anyway. If you have the day off, take the day off. Chill out. Relax. Have some food. Eat some food. Go eat some food. Go drink some water. Go do that. Anyway, we're going now. Bye. Eggman is actually a Bigfoot. I knew it! That makes sense. It's very squishy. Nobody asked a question about toes. No, there was no question about toes. Guys. Patreon.com/Bumblecast. You too can also get involved in the Discord chat that happens during our live recordings and deal with these guys. You've been listening to the Bumblecast, a co-production of Bumble King Comics and the KNGI Network. Original theme music composed by Ken Coda Snyder. Remixed intro by T-Lopes. Find out more information, along with podcast feeder links, MP3 downloads, and more at bumbleking.com and kngi.org. You doing all right, Ian?
Sorry. Just a sec.
Okay. He's over there dying. Don't die, please. Don't die.
I do hope that muting the mic actually stopped that.
Yeah. I didn't. I got the first couple coughs, and then you muted, so it went away. So we're good. Did you choke on your water?
I did.
I hate that. I hate doing that.
Better to have a drink of water to wash it down.
Sucks. Sucks. You said you wanted to die quietly in your sleep, not live on air. Come on.
I said that's what I wanted. I don't get to choose.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, even though the person did say it was up to us, but no, it's not actually really up to us. Unless we distinctly make the decision to do something stupid and reckless.